Melanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, you've researched imposter syndrome in relation to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students. How is imposter syndrome affecting students in particular, and how is it affecting students from that background?
So, as you've said, imposter syndrome is this intense feeling that you don't belong, that you're not good enough, that you've got nothing worthwhile to contribute. And it affects everybody, I think, to some extent at one point or another. But for our Indigenous students, and I'm working in the law faculty, so for our Indigenous law students, it can be a real issue for people with their confidence in the classroom and even with their feelings of whether or not they can continue in their degree. So it's one of the leading causes of people failing to persist with their study, the feeling that you don't belong there, that you're not good enough.
So imposter syndrome can test, you know, your resilience and create barriers to interacting well with peers, colleagues and friends. How can someone overcome that syndrome?
Well, I think it's really important to recognize, as you have, that you know, even really successful people sometimes feel like that they're faking it or that they're an imposter. So I think that that's the first thing to recognise, is that just even though your confidence might be shaken sometimes, it doesn't mean that you actually don't belong there. In fact, it could be that you actually, have more reason to be there than many other people. So I think that that's one thing, remembering that everybody goes through these sorts of feelings. And I think that our universities and other institutions have a big role in making sure that people feel comfortable, that they feel safe, and that they feel valued, that their perspectives are valued. So for our Indigenous students and for other minority groups, particularly people who are first in their families to go to university, it's really important that our institutions make them feel like that they are valued by the institution that they've come to, because that sense that you are valued is one of the things that make you feel more like you belong, and then that increases your level of comfort and your levels of confidence.
So you mentioned that, you know, workplaces and institutions can foster that that feeling of welcomeness and that of value. How can those places actually implement procedures, policies, whatever it happens to be, to help tackle with this problem, especially when it's something that can often go unseen until, you know, it's creeped too far up on you?
Yeah, good question. So certainly in a university environment, there is lots that we can do to create inclusive environments, particularly in the classroom. So that means that teaching staff have to be culturally competent. They have to understand that they have a real role to play in either boosting or compromising students' feelings of belonging in the classroom, and that they can handle sensitive issues in a way that's inclusive for all people in the classrooms, and they can help them to build confidence and that they have valuable contributions to make. And I think that the same extends to the workplace, that where there's a culture of inclusiveness and of people being valued that's fostered, that people are going to feel more like they belong and less like that they're an outsider or that they're not good enough to be there.
Yeah. So how does imposter syndrome actually affect an individual's ability to succeed in the workplace? Because on the one hand, you know, obviously it's very threatening. You can feel very isolated by it. But also there is the perspective that perhaps it is a feeling of keeping yourself in check and not resting on your laurels. You know, where does that balance lie and how concerned should people be about it?
Well, so I'm gonna talk again about our university environment. So from my perspective, our universities are training grounds for the leaders in their field. So, and for our Indigenous students, the Indigenous leaders in their field of study. And so in their university experience, students kind of develop this sense of what's possible, of their possible self in the workplace, in their profession. And so it's really important for us as institutions to create a positive environment that can empower students to think of themselves as leaders and to build their confidence to explore future paths. So in part, it's the institution or the workplace's responsibility to do that. And then in terms of the individual, I think that it is a matter of having environments where it's people feel like they can express their anxieties or insecurities. So safe places where they can say to a trusted colleague, or they can say to a peer, or even to a teacher, listen, I'm not sure that I'm across this. I don't know if I've got anything valuable to contribute. And that they can sort of talk that out, rather than, I think sometimes people's own heads are their own worst enemies.
Yeah.
And staying inside their head can be, you know, quite sort of self-defeating. But if you can just kind of say to the person, if you, do you know what's going on? Do you know what they're talking about? You might find actually that you're not alone, and that there are lots of people around you who are feeling the same way. So I think that all of these things help us to feel a little bit more like we're not alone, like we do belong, and like we do have something worthwhile to contribute.
Well, fantastic. Well, Melanie, thanks so much for joining us on the show. It was a very interesting perspective to get on imposter syndrome, and definitely very relevant given both what you said regarding Indigenous students that you've had, and also given, you know, the distance that we can have from people at the moment, it can be, you know, a bit more difficult to round that conversation out than perhaps it used to be.
It's so true. So we just have to keep taking care of each other and taking care of ourselves.